with podcast. You get to keep up with the culture with this Up There podcast. You get more.
Thank you for watching another episode of It's Up There Podcast with your boy Lonnie Luciano. I am your active and attractive host for another episode of the fastest growing podcast on the market right now. We growing, man, and I can only say thank you to the people that's involved in the movement, especially at these early stages. You know, we at war. You understand me? We at war, man, and we face a industry full of a machine that's that a lot of people don't get, you know, a chance to be a part of, you know what I'm saying? So we want to make this information more easier to be out there, you know what I'm saying, and more accessible to people that may can spark the change or may can figure out how to tap into what a stream is worth or some of these other things. And this game I like to touch on. If you are looking at the video version of this podcast and you want to hear the audio version or you want to support me in that way, you go to wherever you find podcasts and you put in It's Up There Podcast with Looney, and we'll definitely pop up. If you are listening to the audio version of this podcast and you want to, you know, check out the video and see what's going on, then you head over to FOGFO TV on YouTube. And then that's where you'll be able to see, you know, and you can support me in that way as well, especially over there with that being such a big platform. People tend to, you know, when I get in there, because they starting to, you know, tag me and things, right? And so my opinion and a lot of times go against what people would say is the going thing that people are saying right then. And so I'm met with some resistance, and of course I know how to, you know, navigate around those things. So then next thing you know, people go to mentioning things that that I really don't appreciate on the internet, you know. They ask me about my subscribers and things like that, and I get thoroughly confused. But anyway, we'll get to the show. Also right now, I got a project out, Dead Ball Deluxe album, available on iTunes everywhere. Go ahead, I ain't gonna spend no lot of time on it, simply because I understand that those of you that follow the movement, you understand it's out. But the deluxe is deep, man. It's hard, man. I got the video Spoil Me about to come out on Worldstar. I got Never Gave Up On God Love Me, Added Up. Bunch of videos about to drop, and then on 627 I'm gonna drop again. And so just punching at the rap game, you know, just punching at the rap game as I should. And doing that, man. So just tune in for that. But the first thing we're gonna get into today is the Kanye and Kim situation. You know, people been asking me, Loon, talk about it. And I just had been forgetting to talk about it, you know, kind of in detail. But I saw this week where it said that Kanye West has allegedly cut off all communication with Kim and said, you know, if you need to speak to me, go through my security respectfully. You know, I think you know, when you look at relationships and you put yourself in a situation to love and go deep with it and fuck with somebody for years and allow them to be a part of your everyday life and make, you know, allow them to be a part of what regular is to you. You know, the more time you spend with somebody and the more that they are instrumental in your life, that becomes what's normal to you and for you, man. And so sometimes it makes it harder to make those tough decisions. And when something like that goes viral, you know, and people go to talking about that, you got to look at that for what it's worth, you know. For me, in understanding relationships and understanding what they're about, you know what I'm saying? It's just saying this. It's like, you know, when you're dealing with a man, when you're dealing with a guy who really loves you. And so, first of all, we got to understand the difference between just someone just having sex with you and then someone showing you love and really loving you. So sometimes I hate to go there, man, because it gets slippery for people. You understand? And oftentimes they associate sex with love, right? They don't understand. Ain't, for me, love is not sex. Sex is a part of love. But you got to follow me as I break these kind of things down. You see what I'm saying? Sex is a part of love, but love ain't sex, right? When a person shares, again, it's just a access. They give access to themselves, mind, body, and soul, right? They give access to themselves, whether that be men or women. I think that women fall in love too early and men fall in love too late. You know, I think that women fall in love too early and then men fall in love too late. When you deal with a guy, though, and he gives you that level of access, the worst thing you can do is let him enter recovery mode. You see, and I think that's what Kanye West is now doing. I think Kanye West is entering recovery mode. You understand? Which is, now I've made my decision. You know what I'm saying? You wanted to, you know, for whatever reason, you want to play, and I want to advance the conversation and get off of them. But hey, man, listen, when a nigga make a decision like that and say, listen, all right, the communication is cut off. When he do that to you, what he's saying is, I'm now going into hibernation to recover. But when I pop back out, you won't mean anything to me outside of what you know. What you warrant being meant to me, you know, some kids involved, like the mother of my child or something like that. But, you know, when we talk about just from a relationship standpoint or a lovey standpoint, it's only so much a nigga gonna take. You understand? And I always say that sometimes women have a problem with closing the fight. They rock a man, got him on his toe, but right when he finna come on in with the proposal, some kind of way things go left. You got to be able to close the fight, man. You know what I'm saying? And even for guys, when you think you got, you know, when you got a feeling, you and you doing what you supposed to be doing and you mean what you say, you know what I'm saying? You got to know how to close the fight and don't mess the fight up in the 12th round. Don't blow the game in the fourth quarter. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, the worst thing you can do for a man, is let him enter in recovery mode. You know what I'm saying? And because what that means is he's made a decision consciously to wipe out everything that was, to start from the bottom. And he's comfortable with it. See, it's a different thing going way back to the bottom and regretting it. Sometimes people do that, but oftentimes when a man make a decision to say, you know what, I'm done with that. Sometimes he done, you understand what I'm saying? So, you know, he done weighed it up and he's okay with going all the way to the bottom. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, man, that's rough for women to handle. You know what I'm saying? Because that old move that used to get him, you know, that old little convo that used to grab him and make him come on in, and you can get him to forgive you if you do this. It don't work on either side no more. It's dead meat. You know what I'm saying? It's ineffective. You know, and understanding that, man. You know what I'm saying? And you know, they got kids involved. I know dude at one point in time expressed a lot of love for her and admiration, man. So I hate to, you know, be seeing things like that. You know what I'm saying? And at the same time, he don't got no more room to slip. You know what I'm saying? That's what I think makes it a little more heavy. You know what I mean? He don't got no more room to slip. It ain't like he can, you know, he done already kind of did a few things that questioned things, you know what I'm saying? And so it went from the headlines being, hey, Kim Kardashian's worried about Kanye West, you know, and how he'll take the situation, you know what I'm saying? Will he take it hard and concerned with his mental health, to he's now cut off all communication. She can contact him through a security. When you're dealing with a man that's made a decision, you're dealing with a determined guy. You're dealing with a different type of animal. You know what I'm saying? Especially when if I loved you and I tried to do right by you, you understand me? It's a different thing again, and that's a whole episode by itself. But when I try to do right by you, you see what I'm saying? Who done right by you? We ain't talking about who just slid over and hit you, you know, for 6 months. We talking about who done right by you financially, teaching you, holding you down. You understand me? A whole bunch of slew of things that you probably couldn't get out of a lot of guys, and you probably can't get it out of them, not because they ain't willing to give it to you, but most guys don't know how to give it to you. They don't know what it is. See, when you're having money, women require almost nothing in a lot of cases. And I ain't talking about love. I'm talking about just on the dating scene. When you got money and you use that as an object, and a lot of times like guys do, they don't require much from you. You know? And so it makes you lose that skill set. You never develop the skill set to be able to understand how to, you know, wine and dine her with the money. And that's what make niggas like me dangerous. You wine and dine and you can do all that with the money. Or you can go the other route. I can go whichever route I'm feeling like going. It don't really. It's a lot of guys that got those traits, and a lot of women that got those traits. So this world will be all right because everybody different. I also want to talk about Andrew Schultz on the Flagrant 2 podcast. Just had Alex Jones. Of course, you know, like I say, I watched the podcast Landscaping. I look at things for what it's worth, you know what I'm saying? And let me make sure and fact check myself before I speak about this, because it's important for me to have the right information, you know what I mean? Thursday, yeah, see? So Andrew Schultz had Alex Jones. For those of you that don't know Alex Jones, in white culture, or I wouldn't even say white culture, because, you know, in, I think, the far left, I think he's moved over to that. He kind of like a spokesperson for people on the far left, far as they politics, far as they politics, you know what I'm saying? And so, very famous guy, man. I think he was doing 10 million views within 24 hours when he was, you know, at his peak. He's one of the ones that they banned, along with Farrakhan and a bunch of other people off of Facebook and all these things. That's why people don't see him as much anymore. Only person that kind of ushered him back into the game and touched him, because he became radioactive, because he said some very disparaging things about the tragic events that took place in Sandy Hook. For those of you that don't know, do your Googles and understand what that was. A very tragic situation, but I think he said some things about that brought him a lot of fire, warranted, because he was wrong about such a sensitive topic. And they kind of been using that against him. And I'm only putting that in context for you because Joe Rogan, which again is one of the top, not one of the top podcasts in the world, got him in a situation where he would, you know, still mess with him because no other platforms that was moving the needle was giving him a look, right? And Joe Rogan has a podcast where you may see Bernie Sanders, but then you may see Alex Jones, which is what makes it what it is, which is, you know, I think the top grossing podcast, period. But anyway, Alex Jones, you know, him and Rogan will do 10 million in a day, easily. 14 million in a day on one platform. And that's just one platform. Again, that's the podcast analytical talk that a lot of y'all come to get from me. But anyway, you got Alex Jones going over on Andrew's shows. Now, great interview, a whole lot that they got spoke about. So Alex Jones was only able to get any kind of look from that side of the street, which would be Joe Rogan, which is still a very impactful situation. He would come on and say these conspiracies and talk about the deep state and, you know what I'm saying, Russians and this and that, you know. So he's giving that kind of game out. And so Andrew Schultz had him on Flagrant 2. Now, I asked myself at the beginning, which, again, I've stated what Andrew Schultz did. He took some of Charlamagne's fire. Like, if we're superheroes, he kind of snatched some of his powers from him. Well, I ain't going to say snatch. I think Charlamagne handed them to him. Charlamagne was playing two sides of the field. He was the black man, that black power, but Andrew Schultz is his friend, so he was able to, when he goes down there with Andrew's able to say little things that we won't really allow you to say, but because you're next to Charlamagne, we feel as though you're vetted, like he knows you, you know. He kind of gets you a cosign, and you know, people say, Loon, well, you can't talk about that, man, because this and that. I'm telling you something, I'm giving observations, man. You understand me? Ain't nobody coming to save the day. I ain't dumb and stupid. What I'm doing is I'm peeping game. It's my job to put it down, and it's their job to pick it up. You understand? But anyway, so first thing I said was, man, why? I think he's now doing the brilliant idiots with Charlamagne just to do it. He has Alex Jones on his show, one of the top interviews, and Charlamagne can speak for, he does it for a living for real, on the radio, segues, this, that, and the third. Why wouldn't you bring Alex Jones to Brilliant Idiots? Why bring him to Flagrant 2 and make it a Kiki Kaka fest? Which I watched it. It was okay. You know what I'm saying? But I know he's a comic, so he's looking to serve the comedian. He's looking to serve that audience that's in the comedians and comedy. You know what I think he's not understanding about, and not that he has to be Rogan, but even with me, you get your Kiki Kaka, but I want you to come here to know it's some game being put down. You see what I'm saying? It just ain't no Kiki Kaka fest where you may get a few Jews. I need you to really understand what the vibrations is when you turn this on. You understand me? So when you think about him and having Alex Jones there, when that could have put Brilliant Idiots on the top, not on, you know, for that week, download wise, but he did it with Flagrant 2. He also went and started an ad company. Charlamagne's hustling too, but Charlamagne sitting next to him gave him a hell of a push. You see what I'm saying? And so it's like, these are just, it's just another move of reiterating what I've already said. I go get Alex Jones. I send him across from Akash, which is my guy. I like Akash. I like Andrew. I just want to have a conversation. You understand me? You go get Alex Jones and send him there. It seemed like they had a blast. Cool. But why not send him on this platform with me and Charlamagne. When Charlamagne gonna get prepared for Alex Jones, you know, it's still certain interviews Charlamagne to get on this, yeah, for. You know what I'm saying? And so I just think that struck me as odd, you know, that you have a podcast with Charlamagne the God, one of the prominent media guys in all of entertainment. You got Alex Jones, one of the most clickbaity dudes ever, far as he gonna get the traction, you know. And you got a podcast in Brilliant Idiots that's sustaining its audience, right? But it's not no longer growing. We in early 2021, boom, let's pop this and have a real classic interview, you know. Unless Charlamagne said no, which I don't see him doing that. You know, he done sat next to Farrakhan and all that when it was in the fire. So I don't really see him doing that. But yeah, man, I just think that was interesting to me. I wanted to speak on the Kodak Black and Pooh Shiesty thing, you know. And for those of you that don't know, Kodak Black basically posted something, said something about Lil Durk and Baby's song. Well, I think Lil Baby said, you know, showing money on the gram, I invented that, one of them. And he just, like, I showed money. He showed a video. Video where he was doing what Pooh Shiesty and them do, brr or whatever, and the spreading the money on the arm, right? Brr. He was doing that, right? And the situation when he posted it, Pooh Shiesty posted that, man, like, shit lame in hell. You know, I lost all my respect. Now stop right there. 2 days before that, Kodak Black had, I know, seen what academics posted. What Pooh Shiesty got up under somebody post and said, yeah, I can see me, you, and Kodak on that. It's almost like in this game, or the universe or something, has two black men tying towards each other. Right after a compliment of, see, in the rap world, that's a compliment. I keep telling you, you got to know what a cosign look like. You got to know what a shout out look like. You understand me? You got to know what a nigga extending the olive branch look like. You understand me? And so Pooh Shiesty instantly, when I forgot who it was posted, but it was some tweet where Pooh Shiesty got up on it and said, yeah, me, you, and Kodak will be fine on that. Then a day later, this come out. Now, I had already seen this floating around the internet. You know, the internet is undefeated. So they're going to always find something to tie you in, you know, with something. You know, with whatever narrative that the best meme makers want to run with. That's why I'm looking to hire y'all. If you're out there and you see this, I'm looking to hire the best meme makers. I'm already knowing how y'all is shifting things. So, yeah, let's get together on that. But it was just a situation where it just struck me as odd. As soon as after Pooh Shiesty did that, Kodak Black post this. Now, Pooh Shiesty say something back, you know, a tweet about, man, you know, I ain't on the internet with this, man, and I was doing drills when you was rapping, and you know, this and that, and then Kodak, now, you know, they go back and forth, but I'm just wondering where the energy come from. He just had reached out, I think Kodak on his y'all didn't fuck with me shit or something, I really don't know. You know, and then it gets slippery, cause bruh from Memphis, and then Memphis fuck with Yak, you know, he said, Yo God in them, and Shiesty ain't Yo God in them, but it's a Memphis thing. Like it gets, and then, you know, then you got Big 30, which is money bag artist, but that Shiesty brother, like, you understand me? So I'm sure they're gonna find a way to get that, you know, put that under the rug, but it's just strange to me that right after I show some love, this type shit go on. You know what I mean? I think that shit just kind of, that be kind of crazy to me. Like, I don't know, man. Like, it just seemed like, but it just seemed to me like Kodak is playing the power game. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, man, I'm finna assert myself. Let y'all know, because I'm hearing this shit everywhere I go. So I'm going to let y'all know that, hey, man, this is really me. It's like he trying to assert himself some kind of how. He got out. He trying to put himself. Y'all know what up. I'm big dog. He trying to assert himself. You know, but you ain't got to shit on another nigga to do that. I don't know if he was shitting, but it just seemed like, I don't know, cause he really didn't say that, but you know how these fans get. See, all this shit be affected by the internet, man. You know what I'm saying? Like I was telling on the last episode with the Nipsey and Big U thing, shit get affected by this internet. The internet so new, nigga don't know how to really maneuver around all that. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so let's talk about the Jay-Z, because I've been seeing this float around the internet, so it's important for me to speak on. People been commenting and DMing me about the Jay-Z deal with Moet and the not necessarily Moet, but Moet and Tidal, and the Swiss Beats deal with Thriller. They say they saying that they think they sellouts. They say they depend on the culture and say let's build this up for us, and then they get it sold. Now it's layers to this. You know, one layer, of course, congratulations, especially the fact that equity is involved with both situations. Swiss and Timberland got some equity for all 43 people. I think people are seeing that in a way where they're thinking that they negotiated that outside of their deal. The way it's reading to me is with some of the equity they got, they split it up between those 43 people. That's how it's reading to me. Not that Thriller had anything to do with it. It's how it's reading to me. And I could be wrong. But and Jay-Z the same with the title. You know, they said a couple of people got 9 million, certain kind of millions out of that, which is cool. That's another two houses or something. You know, big motherfucker that I can sell or whatever, you know, renovate 10 houses with that. You know what I mean? But anyway, you know, people speak to them being sellouts. You know, dude from Power, Tariq from Power, called out Swiss Beats and said these dudes are sellouts for selling their company like that. I really don't know how to look at it. You know what I'm saying? I say that business is business and business is to be done. Some kind of way we all got to participate in business on a high level. You know, I think the access to the information has become scarce and become hoarded at the top. With the access to some of these conversations, I think they want you to believe it's wealth-based. Like, you got to have a certain amount of millions to talk up here, and I know it's not true. I've been close enough to see that it's not true. You know, so I'm worried in that regard. But when you deal with someone like a Jay-Z and a Timberland, so that really was hard on Timberland and Swiss, the Tariq dude was, because he said, Versus is for us. You know, and people said Tidal was for us. You know, I think it kind of came off as for us when they first cracked it up. You know what I'm saying? But I think we didn't support it in a way where it could only be for us. So, again, a good coach know when to change the game plan. You know, and I think people are more concerned when that when that trigger's pulled, you know, when somebody chooses to change the game plan, when some people are still only supporting because it was black on Jay-Z, or only watching because it was Swiss and Timberland. To be honest, I think they sold it right before the world about to open again because they don't really know what to do with it. They'll figure it out. I'm sure they got concerts, things like that. I think they're going to have trouble repurposing it, or it may be a thing where you can do this same 20 for 20 in 10 states. You know, maybe in the building is a different feeling, and people will come out and see that. But you got to test that market. I think that may be a thing. But I think right before the world opened, they're trying to dump that off. You know what I'm saying? Go on, get the check. Why it's at the height of what we can see as far as now. Now, the next phase would be something that they would have to reinvent. It's not going to be the same thing from your phone and still continue to garner the same attention with the world open. I don't believe so. But shout out to Swiss and Timberland. I've done great business. You know, took care of their business. Handle it like men. You know, and showed the culture that, again, I like when Swiss said, we want to give ownership. We want ownership, but won't give ownership. You understand me? But a lot of the games, Swiss won't even give access to the information of the audience. You know, and I know they say, well, nobody gave me nothing. And I always tell you, look at Rogan and how he give handoffs. We got to do what the white people is doing, man, to get this where it need to go. You know, I keep telling y'all that people call Jay-Z and Master P and all them people from back in the day that done business. Said, well, their contracts were just as bad as the labels. Well, the first, we didn't have no information. So the first game we took was copy them. So whatever deal he had me in, put him in that deal. That's our only way I can see to make money. We now need a fresh pair of eyes on things because the system that's in place now has been there for a while. We need some new people that want to, you know, set eyes on it. And my up don't mean your down, which is also need to be understood with giving access to information and audience. You know, vet the people. See what people like. See what they stand for. See what they about. See what they know. See what their morals is. See what they read. See what they felt. But in some kind of way, we got to pass along this information because one of us going to be able to open up something and figure out what a stream is and how to do it on this side. Or figure out how to market in a way that, you know, figure out what it takes to make conversion, what the conversion is on taking you from this platform to that platform, but it still work itself out. You know what I'm saying? So it's gonna be more.
Stand on four more, that's a whole nine. Old slows on the floor now. It's over, kid, don't scream that shit. You don't know about it. Little over, kid, you be looking for me in a bed with some hoes. Pride in the back of my mouth like crying, but bitch, I'm a soldier. That's just something I cannot do. I've been told that I've been slanging it too, bitch. I know that you lying to it. Just me and y'all let me outside the drive, but now I'm on fire. Your neck on the bottom of my shoe. They wanna kill a nigga just cause I'm speaking the truth, bitch. I'm just a real nigga.
I don't know what else to do. Why lie? Let's go. All right, man. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome to another episode of It's Up There Podcast with your boy Luna Luciano. I am your active and attractive host for another episode of the fastest growing podcast on the market right now. Currently, we're ahead of everybody in regards to independent, up and coming podcasts, and we're growing at a substantial rate, man. And I just want to thank everybody that's tuned in, whether that be audio and video. My audio numbers are going crazy. I see a lot of people are consuming podcasts, and so if you're here, you're in the right place, and I want to thank you for it. If you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, and at any point you're interested in seeing the video version, you head over to FOGFOTV on YouTube, and then that's where you will be able to find everything associated with the big homie, you know. And if you are looking at the video version of the podcast, and you want to listen to the audio at some point, you head over to It's Up There Podcast on any platform that you get your podcast, and you'll be able to, you know, stay tuned in and support us in that way. Of course, we got merch links in bio. Deadball Deluxe is out, doing well. I appreciate the people that's here for the music, that come from that side of the street and understand that I'm probably your first active hybrid artist in this way. And so just welcome everybody. You know, a lot to talk about. You know, we got a bunch of issues we're gonna get to, of course. I wanted to talk about just understanding what you involved with. You know, in this space, this podcast space, being such a new industry, such a new place, such a new environment, it's rough to really understand what will and what won't, right? If I'm not mistaken, I think there's a young lady that was signed to Joe Budden Network that decided to stop doing the podcast with See the Thing Is. Couple things there, and I'm only speaking on this because recently Rory went there and said that his passion isn't podcasting, and Joe kind of hit on it a little bit. I think responding to some of the criticism that I've put forth with saying that, you know, you gotta do a podcast with the stuff that you already built, or you gotta do a better job at introducing new content to your audience. You just signed. No. What you do is you and Joe Budden cut a check. Whoever's responsible for those people cut a check, because I'm gonna lay out the format that I'm hoping that moving forward you take this, because again, I'm just a new scientist. So a lot of y'all guys have been in those positions for a long time, so you ain't got a fresh pair of eyes looking at the paper. I'm a fresh pair of eyes. You see what I'm saying? But what you ought to do, and what you should be doing in order to leverage the audience that you already built, couple of different things, and I'm going to speak on both. But first, I'll speak on the See the Thing Is. Or not just See the Thing Is, I apologize, because I like those girls on there. I like all the girls, really, that's associated with the Joe Budden Network. My job isn't to criticize any woman about any podcasting or anything dealing with this industry. My job is to understand the information that's being passed down, if any. And so when you hear me speak about things, it's from a standpoint of understanding the move, understanding the landscape, the business tip. I got love for everybody until they disrespect me. You know, now when you disrespect me, you're going to think I didn't never like you. But see, I'm not responsible for what you think. I'm responsible for my feelings and my responses to certain things that I encounter. So what you feel is not my responsibility on any level. And I'm always clear with that. So sometimes I think that may come off as arrogant of some sort or just inconsiderate. But I reject that notion because I respect everything around me and I respect everybody and everything until I'm disrespected. You know, and I tend to have a good gauge of what it feel like to be respected. And so when I feel the other side approaching, then all bets are off. But just dealing with, you know, the game and watching some of these moves, like with the Joe Budden and him signing these girl podcasts. Again, what he should be doing is not wasting time putting Rosa there. Shout out to Rosa. She looks great. Fuck with her content, you know. Think she brings a lot to the industry that she's in, right? But that's a slide. Or not, let me take that back, because I don't want to take any opportunity from anybody else. So I take that back. I don't mean to say that. What I mean is, in addition to doing something like that with one of the pretty young Instagram followers or pretty young Instagram OnlyFans content makers, creatives, you know what I'm saying? In addition to doing that, you need to introduce this new person, and not so generic, like where it's like, we have, see, the thing is on the phone, you know, I'm signing like Mandy or whoever it may be. Like you start introducing them to the audience, call them in, and you put segments into your sheet. You know, you put segments where when we talk about this, we're going to reach out to them and kind of, you know, introduce them to the audience that way. Let's say something comes up about an Instagram girl or a woman being having sex or wanting to have sex with multiple people. You may reach out to Mandy. You see what I'm saying? You may say, hey, man, you know, we got her on the phone. Of course, you call everybody else. You got to introduce things to these people, though. You can't just drop it on the YouTube channel and think that's big business. You got to introduce this to the people, and so they can say some kind of way, oh, I know her. Yeah, nah, I know exactly who that. She be calling in. She killed Joe Nim on this, or she made a good point on this. You know, and then you drop, hey, you got a podcast. Like, make it more organic. You know, and develop somebody too in this space. You know, you got to develop people too. I know everybody say, well, that's one thing I don't understand. We criticize the labels for what they do, but we mimic the labels. You know, we got to develop shit. We can't just wait till it's already popping. Like, when you look at, let's say you look at the girls, right? Or you look at that situation. All them people got their own thing. A lot of them, and it's like, if you dealt with Jay-Z, you can get another deal somewhere in this industry. I don't care if you was his, you know what I mean? That's how much they just be on Jay. So whatever you done for Jay is going to provide you a luxury to get another. Somebody going to mess with you all, on top of being talented like the young lady is. But it just, Mandy, she's already in the space, proven, easy to grab her. Right, she doesn't need anyone that's helping them actually do anything. If anything, she's maneuvering her audience here and there. She's bringing her little audience. Oh yeah, I know her. And then people are bringing their audience, but you got to introduce that stuff to your audience. The same way when you're watching in NBA playoff finals, they going to tell you such and such and up next and run commercials all through that shit to try to get you to bite on this next show. You understand me? I ain't going to just drop it on CBS and that's just that on that. So it's more that got to go into that. Then on top of that, you do got to read the room. The number one show on your platform is all dudes. Why you not developing some other dude podcast? We clearly got we've built a platform that has a high level of male interaction, and then you got to ask yourself, do you know how rare that is? That's when you go holler at a Manscaped and a Blue Chew or a Viagra, whoever you want to holler at. You go holler at these people to go and get some chicks, because, man, evidently we got a lot of guys watching. But then that's when you get you another guy podcast. But for some reason, we have an issue in this space. The people that is in positions of power, we don't, number one, we don't develop anything. And then number two, it's like the male energy throws us off. We don't want to deal with the male energy, but this just some game, giving some game out to them. But I think the young lady left the podcast. And I think when he went and signed the homie, Karen Silver, and the other beloved, it was, I think it kind of stepped on their feet. It kind of stepped on their feet, right? I think it kind of put her in a situation, because if you noticed, and again, this is Joe being in a new space. He really don't know how to do it, and he just want to make it look good and, you know, and trick him. It's trickery. He high level of trickery. You know what I'm saying? One thing he do got is a high level of trickery. So he don't really know. You know what I'm saying? Some certain things is in the structure space, right? Like when you sign, they send you a champagne and you start getting care packages and just little things. Welcome aboard, signed by the CEO and this and that. You know, people, there's just regular things that happen if you got somebody in position running your business just kind of knows the old structure, just the structure of business, because you want to be able to always say you welcomed them. Well, I sent them a such and such, and you know what I'm saying? When, again, it's just game. It's just game. Preparing for the worst, but hoping for the best, you know? But I think when they signed Karen Silver, them, because she's a big wig, she's a big fish, right? So when you sign somebody like that, and we fresh in, it almost comes off. It feels funny, you know what I'm saying? It can almost come off as you didn't get the look you wanted with us, because you've yet to double up on what you got, because evidently you feel like that's enough. We got the men thing on lock. But you double right up on top of us in 6 weeks. 8-10 weeks, I don't know what it was, however many weeks it was, though, you double right back on top of us. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, damn, is we not doing what he thinking we need to do, so he went and doubled back? Or was it an understanding there that, hey, I'm finna start grabbing a bunch of girl stuff as I try to build a girl audience? I think when you're trying to make money, which, you know, evidently he is, all this negotiating and that, Spotify want to get equity and all that. So when you want to build something like that, I just think you gotta, I just think some kind of way, man, you gotta serve the people you got there. You know, you're supposed to double back with some kind of guy thing, some kind of male podcast or male dominant. Put you one of them girls in there with a male. That's what I'm saying. Y'all just need some help up there. Y'all don't really know what's going on. Everybody making money, but you're not advancing anything. Like the Patreon, it was really like, you know, to me, and not to downplay it, because it's a big deal. I wanna first say that it's a big deal for him and for us and for podcasters and rap type podcasters, but it's a recycled concept. It's a recycled concept. You see what I'm saying? It's a recycled concept. They've been doing this. You just was able to get some money from the CEO guy, which is a great play. But this is a recycled concept. This ain't something that Joe Budden came up with. And not to downplay him, because again, this is a thing that I'm paying attention to. But I think when you're trying to build something, you got to read the room and have enough. You got to serve the men that's there. You got a guy-led podcast. It's a some women watching, but most of them trying to get some money out of one of y'all. But I'm talking about some kind of way you got to read the room. If I got a bunch of girls here, I got to know what they into and get them right. You got a bunch of guys on your platform, but you keep signing girl podcasts. It's just counterintuitive. You know what I'm saying? It's counterintuitive, man. So just thinking about that, you know what I mean? Let me see. But I think the young lady left, man, just because she was feeling like, man, things ain't. It ain't coming off right. It ain't feeling like it's supposed to be feeling. You know what I'm saying? I also want to call this too. I think DJ Academics is setting up a situation where he can have a podcast with Tekashi. I actually called this about 8 months ago. I called this. I said Academics gonna when especially when everyday struggle ended. I said he gonna try to get Tekashi to do a podcast. But I don't know, man. I don't know how that'll work, you know. Because when you go into business with Tekashi, it may slow your insight down. You know, when you standing, when you go in business and do a podcast, who's to say NBA Youngboy want to still talk to academics every day or sometime? Who's to say, you know, Lil Uzi want to talk to him all the time? You know what I'm saying? Because now you've actually started doing business with somebody that it's in your interest to share details with them. You know what I'm saying? About things that I may tell you in confidence. I know for a certain amount of time you may be able to keep it split off. But the more and more, at some point, what you know, he would know, man. You know, y'all sitting down giving dialogue all day. So it may start to interrupt things on this side. But your idea may be to get popping on the podcast side and say, let this fall back a little bit. I don't know, but it kind of feel like at some point, he's going to go from interviewing Tekashi to Tekashi's going to end up being a co-host on some kind of situation he got going on, you know. Sometimes I hear their conversations because, you know, again, I watch Act 2 because he's a big dog in this space. You know, when you deal with Twitch and you deal with YouTube and numbers and things like that, he's made a living off this space. So it's important to pay attention to him, too. But I hear that conversation sometimes, and I just sometimes a New York nigga got a different way of looking at things than we do, you know. So they remember little facts and little tidbits that we don't remember, even like with academics. So I hear them talk about 50 Cent, or I be forgetting certain little things. And you know, my view was from the South, even though I understand the game, so I may have a little more insight than, you know, just a casual fan. But if you from the South, your view of 50 was from the South. You know what I'm saying? So the niggas up north remember when he, man, when he signed MOP, them said this, you know. And so it, sometimes it's interesting to hear Act and look, you know, Act in particular go down those roads where he kind of remember certain things. But Act is privileged to talk to certain people. That I think if he go in business with Tekashi, it stops that, or it slows that down. You know, and if he's not careful, they'll erase him from history. They'll let him make a living. You don't have any kids to pass it down to just yet. You know, so once you know, if something ever happens to you, your shit dies. You got some friends, but it's going to take their interest. It ain't going to be something you pass down. So it'll be, you know, kind of washed down. And, you know, like I said, you need to start appearing in some Netflix shows and some TV, some things going to be around and, you know, be sold for a long time, because these YouTube views ain't really, we don't really know what that is. You know, we don't know. It's been having a good run, but we really just don't know. You know, just like with the, just like with the NBA Youngboy, you know, recently Act has came out and kind of, how can I put this, in setting up his podcast that he's about to start, he's starting to kind of let you get in inside stories, right? I think that's what's going to kind of be his niche in the game is, come listen to me for your inside story. That's why I said if you link that with Tekashi, I'm not sure if they're going to allow you to still get inside stories. Now, he may be in a place where he's talking to managers and people in crews, right? So I don't know his formula for getting the information. So, but I do think that Tekashi is radioactive in that space, in any space. You know, are you going to get sponsors? To, like, how is that going to work out? You see what I'm saying? But he released a few things about NBA Youngboy not wanting to do a song with Lil Baby, and NBA Youngboy making J. Cole wait for 8 hours and then he didn't come to the studio. Now, I think J. Cole, just these rappers understand that NBA Youngboy is hot. You know, when you hot like that, when you in a position to make people a lot of money, excuse me, and what I mean is, with your streams, you see what I'm saying? They know the young niggas coming to listen to this. You know what I mean? Me and you gonna probably go platinum pretty quick or gold pretty quickly. And you're gonna have a young, whole bunch of young fans coming to listen to this. You know what I mean? So that's driving people to try to link with the dude. You see a Nicki Minaj next to him to tap in with that. Now they, I ain't saying they don't got love for him, but it's business there too. You see people link up with him to try to tap into that young wave. You know what I'm saying? And waiting 8 hours, it reads funny. You know what I'm saying? It sounds crazy. I can believe it though. I don't know, just sitting there twirling his thumbs like, where's your, he's probably working and, you know what I'm saying, in there doing shit. Maybe somebody's mixing. Of course, a studio for somebody that's multi-platinum is a different kind of studio. It's not a bad time now. It's not a place where, you know, you hate to be. I'm probably going to be here anyway, you know, but we is expecting him to come through. But if a nigga going through something, man, a nigga supposed to be able to tell you that, cause man, we might get in here and you say the wrong thing and a nigga flash out on you. And then now you remember me being that type of nigga when it was really I was on going through some other shit. You know what I mean? So it's something to think about. You know what I'm saying? But I don't think J. Cole was just sitting there doing nothing, waiting on NBA Youngboy. I do think he waited, though. They gonna wait on that young dude, man. The young dude making them folk come listen. Them folks clicking on that. Boy, I think he number one on YouTube and been there for a long time. So them folks listening. Them folks is they on top of it. And I also wanted to say this here about Suge Knight. Suge Knight responsible for a lot of real guys, man, on that West Coast, man. When we look at the lineage of Suge Knight, because every time I hear somebody that is held in high regard come about the West Coast in the entertainment industry, a lot of them names got Suge somewhere on it. Yeah, nah, I was working with Suge. And nah, I was fucking with Suge. It's like, Suge was going down to the hood getting the real. It's like Suge was tapped in with the real. We might have to look at that, man. We might have to look at really what Suge stand in regards to really messing with the streets. Like putting you in position to try to get you something. Somebody that really may be looked at as dangerous, but really putting them in a position to not be scared of them and try to help them change that. We really might got to look at Suge again. Suge might be up there. You know what I'm saying? We got a lot of people made a lot of money for themselves. I'm going to stop putting them dudes that made a lot of money for themselves and a bunch of people around them ain't make no lot of money. I'm going to stop putting them at number one in regards to my anything. Because as I excel and as I understand, I understand that the money is in the information. And for you to have all the money, what that tells me is you're not sharing any of the information. Or you got people around you that's dumb and stupid. You know? And so how smart are you to have a bunch of dumb and stupid people around you? Now, maybe that may be a trick that I ain't up on yet. But some is just, you know what I'm saying? I just think we may got to revisit what we put Suge at in regards to touching the streets with opportunity. Of some sort with this game, with this entertainment industry game. You know what I mean? And we got P doing a lot for itself too, with the, he going clothes and noodles and pancakes and, you know, he doing all kind of stuff. But we got to sit down, man, and get some of that information out to these folk. Because it's somebody out there, and it may be me, it may be somebody, but it's some people out there that can take what the information y'all got now, y'all stuck with, and make another $1 billion off it. You know what I'm saying? And not saying you stuck everywhere in your life, but you may be missing something that's right in your face. I don't give a damn how good a boxer is. He got a trainer. I don't give a damn how good a boxer is. After each round, he come and holler at somebody that ain't the dude ain't shaped like him. He don't look like him. He ain't as strong as him, but he understand what he looking at. So sometimes you got to tag somebody in and understand what they looking at, man. And it may make all us make more money. You see what I'm saying? Because when I look at things, I just understand where it can lead. You know what I mean? I understand where it can lead. But we may got to look at, sure, we got your Big U's, your Wack 100s, your Snoop's, your Pac's, your Dre's. We may got to look at, we ain't got, hey, when we talk about moguls, we may got to look at Suge Knight for real serious, man. I'm just not thinking about that. So I may got to do a little bit more research on that, because that's really real right there. I seen this too. Lady Gaga. So Lady Gaga off of 500 racks. Lady Gaga off of 500 racks for a dog's back. So for those of you that don't know, Lady Gaga's dog walker, I think that's what he was. I mean, it sounds a little, you know, I ain't having enough money where that comes off. It's just cool. Just, hey, this is my dog walker. It almost sound like get out, you know what I mean? And I don't know, but I think that's what his position was. Not sure if he died or not. If he did, man, you know, prayers to the family. You know what I'm saying? But the guy that walks her dogs were walking her dogs, and some people jumped out and I think gunned him down, shot him a couple of times or something, and stole her dogs. Now, this is where it gets slippery. So they go and they steal her dogs, right? The dogs gone. You know, anytime somebody gets shot and some dogs involved, we really don't give the dogs back. You may got a Bluetooth thing on the dog. He may know where I'm at. Man, them dogs is gone. They not nowhere near me, but she off of 500 racks. So I'm knowing when you off of 500 racks, you probably going to get what that is brought back. You got to just kind of weigh it up. Because whoever's doing the stealing, the robbing, or whatever, they broke. You understand me? It ain't usually, it ain't no rich person or people, somebody with some money that's really out there stealing or, you know, jump out on somebody that's walking some dogs. And, you know what I'm saying? It usually ain't, but we don't know, right? But when you put 500 racks on the street, you going to give... You put 500 racks on the street, you're going to get back whatever that is you asking for. So she put the 500 racks out. Boom, the dogs come up out of nowhere. Some lady bring the dogs to the spot looking to cash in. But they hit her with the flea flicker 52 fake out. They told her, well, hold up before you get paid. We got to make sure you ain't got nothing to do with it. Man, hold up. Y'all just said get the dogs back and it's 500K. It could have been the people that shot dude. Man, if we bring the dogs back and turn ourselves in, we supposed to get paid. That's how I'm looking at it. But they hit her with the flea flicker. Man, we got to make sure you ain't got nothing to do with it. And then Lady Gaga come out and say, well, we willing to get a $500,000. Man, y'all should have gave it, in my opinion. But I know that trick. I ran that trick before. I was somewhere, a parking lot or something, and one of my phones fell out. I pulls off and notice, man, my phone gone. I called. Somebody answered. No, they didn't. I called it. And nobody answered. But I can tell somebody hit and ignore. So boom. It kick in, right? I go to, yeah, how we gonna do this? We gotta maneuver. Somebody got this motherfucker, and it's my money phone. So, nigga, I hit a text. I got 1K for the phone back right now. Took a picture of the money and put my other phone right there where it was the date. I got 1K for the phone back. They text back. So they hit back and holler, bet. I call instantly. Nah, they text back, where are you? Some they text back, but I instantly call. What's up, man? What's up? I got 1K for the phone, but I ain't do no talking, man. Where you at? How you doing? How you find it? Where you? Instantly told him I got 1,000 for the phone back. Where you at, man? That's my I need that phone bad. He said, pull right back up to the Kroger. I pulled back down there right now. So I instantly turn around. I'm headed up to the Kroger. I get there. Boom. He pull up. I'm like, where you at? I'm standing out right now. I was like, show me the phone. He showed me the phone. He gave it to him. I told him, man, I'm not paying you nothing, man. Hell is you think this is? Man, I'm not paying you nothing for giving me my shit back. Man, I'm not paying you nothing, man. You need to take it however you want to take that. Now, did we need to get what we doing right quick? I'm finna go. But I'm not paying you for my shit back, man. You were finna steal. But I'm knowing if it's something that was really, man, I was broke then. Not super broke, but not able to give a nigga 1K for something back. You know what I'm saying? If you having real money and whatever that is means something to you, give somebody something for it. But at this time, I didn't have the leisure. I didn't have the leg room, nigga. Fuck you mean by the 1,000 by that phone. And that's my phone. So I push up on the nigga. Man, like I'm finna pay him and take the phone. Ain't no, man, I'ma holler at you about that. You good? I'm finna go. Yeah, you don't get nothing. And he had to take that for what it worth. What, you gonna die about my phone? You see what I'm saying? Something need to happen to you about my phone. That ain't your phone. So whatever. But I hope they ain't pulled that on that lady, man. And I also hope she didn't have nothing to do with it. You know, sad situation. You know what I mean? But I done pulled the 52 fake out myself. And so maybe I'm just projecting. Yeah, maybe I'm just projecting, man. So next week I'm gonna get into how you pass a law and name it after a woman, but you didn't arrest the people that killed her. Yeah, I get into that next week. It's Up There Podcast. I get into that next week. I always tell dudes, be careful what you say on these podcasts, especially when dealing with your children. You know, I seen what Freddie Gibbs' wife now has all of a sudden, and they could have been beefing, who knows. But post that file some sort of divorce or file for custody with a restraining order or something. But what happens is they get something like that in place. See, the lawyer done taught them to play the paperwork game. See, the worst thing you can do is have a woman that's dealing with you but have an outside influence on her decision of a real serious situation. You know what I'm saying? And that's going to cost both of us ultimately time and money when we should be able to handle this like adults. But they file some sort of paperwork, right? So you file a restraining order, some kind of paperwork where you can tell the other judge, well, judge, I have a restraining order on him as we speak. You know, this, that, and the third. You're able to get that off, and it looks away in court with the paperwork being in the right place. So I always say watch what you say on these podcasts, because if you listen to him on Joe Rogan podcast, he said some things in which I would imagine he was joking, you know, but he said some things in regards to the kids, or they, you know, fuck that, or this is just some things that I took as jokes. But just like I tell y'all, when the feds are doing an investigation and you mad because look, Juan J or whatever his name is ain't paid you your money, right? He owe you a little something. They ain't caught you selling no drugs yet, but he owe you a little something, and you call your other friend and you tell him, man, I ought to smoke that little dude, man. That dude owe me some money. He ain't paid me, man. I kill that little about that money, man. Who he think he playing with? They put that down as conspiracy to commit murder. Now, hopefully your lawyer's job is to get in there and comb through that. But who says the jury don't understand that you just may say something they take so serious passively, you know, because the culture revolves around violence in a lot of areas, you know. So when you say something on these podcasts or you say something in public like that, they're able to put that into a court document, man. And it don't read the same way it sound when you say it. When you playing on a podcast and it's a 2.5 hour long podcast and they take 10 seconds of it, it don't read the same as you hear when you say it listening to that 3 hour conversation. So understanding that is just instrumental, man. You know, and I hate to see that for dude, but like I say, understanding what you're involved in is instrumental in excelling, man. And so it's important for all us to always keep our best foot forward, our eyes on our own paper, man, and just keep on pushing. You know what I mean? Oh, Quando Rondo. I didn't talk about that. For those of you that don't know, Quando Rondo was in the news for allegedly calling Big U, you know, and Big U declined the call. And the internet got set on fire, you know, said that he's trying to align himself with people for support and for protection. And I'm sure Quando understands how it can feel a way. You reach out to a dude, you know, after one of the most traumatic things happen on behalf of something that, you know, you've admittedly now came out and said you didn't know it was no pressure. And I get that. But you've been involved in something, man, that puts a target on your back, right? And so now you reach out to me. So then Quando came out and said, man, well, I ain't reach out to him by no protection. You know what I'm saying? I reached out to try to give back and do something for the kids and this and that. You know, you could do that. You can do that. Just send the money. You know what I'm saying? You're going to do something for the kids. Go on, send the money. Just send the bread through and then tell them, hey, tell big homie that's for the kids. If why we got to talk, like why you got to directly talk to me if it's about the kid, just send the bread. Yeah, just send the money. Just get whatever you going to send, put it on somebody cash up close to me. Hey, man, that's $15,000 for the kids, man. Just do something for the kids with that. Why we got to talk? You know, that's why I can come off as a way. But he came back out and said, man, I don't feel nobody. You know, and I didn't try to get protection, man. And if I was looking for protection, man, you know, I'm having a little motion. I just get security. The game is normalized security, you know. Self-preservation is the first law of survival. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it takes to survive is what I would exhibit. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to have security when you're dealing with a certain amount of money. I'm not sure what Quando has, so I'm moving the conversation off of him with that statement. But let's live there for a minute with the Big U and him saying that he didn't reach out for support. But you do understand how it can come off that way, right? As I said, you haven't. It's not like you have reached out to me before. And while we got to talk, you giving money to the kids, send the money. You know what I mean? Sometimes niggas don't even want to talk. You got certain moguls sending money places, they don't even want to have a conversation about it. That's how I would do. You want to talk to me? Do you need a picture or something? Or what we doing? You know what I'm saying? So, again, man, like I said, I ain't got nothing, you know, I don't have nothing to do with it either way. But I just, again, my job is the peep game. And, you know, with this platform. So, that's something I'm going to continue to do, man. So, it's another episode. You know, we thank y'all for watching and tuning in. If you listen to this point, man, you know you're part of the family. And share, like, share, subscribe, FOGFOTV on YouTube. It's Up There Podcast. Anywhere you get podcasts, Dead Ball Deluxe is streaming everywhere right now. going crazy. I'm talking about going crazy, crazy. So I thank everybody that's been holding us down, man. See y'all next week. Gone.